Y'all ready? We're going to talk about Samson. Say that with me. Samson. I have never preached a message on Samson. In all my about 30 years of preaching, I've never preached a message on Samson. I'm sure when I was doing Sunday school years ago or talking to the kids, I'm sure I must have done something on Samson. You know what I mean? But as far as putting a message together, hey, I didn't have no notes to go to in my file folder and stuff like that, you know? So we're going to talk about Samson. We as a staff got together and we were talking and I was just struggling. Well, what am I going to do and where am I going to go? And I like it to grab me. I like it to be something I want to do and that I can get excited about. And we were just walking through and we just came out of the book of Joshua. Y'all remember, right? Talking about Joshua. Last week, Love of Brothers, a standalone message. So what are we going to do? Well, Judges is the next book right after Joshua. Amen? And then the name Samson came up. And it just like, Samson. I said, I think I'm going to do something on Samson. And so that's what I started doing. Went to my office, started studying, started reading, started looking. Amen? First thing I did was read the story of Samson. It's covered in four chapters in the book of Judges, 13, 14, 15, and 16. And then I read it in a more contemporary Bible in different ways so I could try to get a handle on it. Now, how many saw the movie? Remember seeing the movie? The Samson movie? It really wasn't that far off. I mean, it was, you know, I didn't watch a movie this week, but anyway, I did about everything else. Let's go with Samson. Here we go. Look at, he's a not so what? Do you see his S on his chest is turned around what? Uh-oh. Yeah, that S on his chest is turned around what? Backwards. Uh-oh, because he's a not so what? Superman. As far as men in the Bible, men of strength, men of power, this is the most powerful man in the Bible. As far as strength, human strength, it was incredible what this man did according to the Word of God. And over the next couple of weeks, 3 weeks actually, we're going to learn about Samson. We're going to see his strength. But did he have a weakness, church? Somebody tell me. Oh, yes. That's why his S got turned around backwards. Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about this man. But we got to get him born first. All right? So we're going to do a little research. And we're going to get him on the planet. He ain't on the planet yet. So let's go with the message. Samson, a strong beginning. Can you say that with me? Samson, a strong beginning. That's the title of our message today. A strong beginning. And let's go back. And it's amazing how talking about Joshua and then moving on today, you're going to see these two connect pretty well. Let's look at it. Here we go. What did Joshua tell the children of Israel? In our last series, we just finished it. Okay? We're doing it. Okay? We looked at Joshua. He was old. Remember, the general gave his last farewell. Are y'all awake? Don't go sleep in the dark on me. I'm telling you. Come on. What did Joshua tell the children of Israel? We're rolling, Raj. He said, say it with me, choose to do it. One more time. Choose to do it. So let's roll it and let's see what we can find. Back in Joshua 23, a little review. Else, if you do in any wise go back, Joshua giving his farewell address to the leaders, to the children of Israel. He said, if you in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and you shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, scourges in your sides, and say it with me, interesting right here, thorns in your what? Eyes. Interesting that thought. Until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Know if you go back, Joshua said, God's not going to fight for you, and know if you go back, God will do what? He'll actually what? Fight against you. And by the way, friend, I know this is the Old Testament. We think God just puts a rubber stamp on anything we do these days. He doesn't. You hear me? Yes. Yeah. God's the same. What's the Bible say? Yesterday, today, and what? Forever. Sure. Joshua 23, 14. And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. I'm about to die. And you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass unto you. And not one thing has he failed to do. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all what? Evil things until he's destroyed you from off the good land which the Lord your God has given you. So you got a choice to make. That's what he said to the children of Israel. And when you've transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which He commanded you, you've gone and served other gods, you bowed yourselves to them, then shall the what? Anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord has given to you. Amen. So, Joshua commanding the people. Hang in here with me. Choose to do it, he said. Great verse in chapter 24. It's your move to choose to serve God. It's your move still today. Joshua, his farewell address, he says, if it seems evil unto you, if it seems too much to ask out of you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you go serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Say that last part with me. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can we do that again? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So y'all remember us talking about this? Okay, come on. We're fixing to connect some dots. Your choice, Joshua said, will be a what? It'll be a witness against you. So he told them to make a choice. And what did the children of Israel say? And the people said unto Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto him, oh, good, good, good. You're witnesses against yourselves that you've chosen the Lord to serve. And they said, say it out loud, we are witnesses. We mean what we say, and we'll stand by what we've said. All right? Let's now move forward with today's message. Samson, a strong beginning. We flip the page, and we go into the book of Judges. But we're not going to start at the beginning, because I'm not going to do all the book of Judges. I'm going to look at Samson. I'd encourage you to read the book of Judges. And you'll get a lot of help today by what it's about, by what we're going to say. Judges 13:1. And the children of Israel, say it with me, did evil what? Again, in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the... For how long? 40 years. I don't know if you noticed that Joshua 13:1, it said they did evil what? Again. Which tells me if I'm in chapter 13, must have been chapter 1 through 12, they were doing some evil. Because in 13, they did what? They did it again. Let's learn something about the book of Judges. The cycles of the book of Judges. The cycles of the book of Judges. Each cycle, when you read the book of Judges, is complete in itself and it contains the same six things. Say six things with me. Six things. And quite frankly, you and I ain't changed a whole lot either. These cycles still continue today. You listening? So when you read the book of Judges, the cycle is complete in itself. Each judge that you'll see. A judge is a deliverer. A deliverer. And under each deliverer, the cycle is complete and it contains the same six things. So, check that book out and read it. Let's go with the message. Here we go. Here's the six things. All right, they were doing good. We love God. Amen. And they would. And then, Israel would sin and begin worshiping what? Idols. Number two, God would allow their neighboring enemies then to dominate them and rule over them. Three, Israel would cry out to God for deliverance. And they would what? Repent of their sins. Number four, God would raise up a what? A deliverer, otherwise called a judge, thus the name of the book, Judges. Who would? Okay, he would raise up a deliverer and he would rule over them. And they would enjoy peace and what? Prosperity. Number five. Israel would enjoy peace and prosperity until what? The deliverer or the judge died. And then number six, guess what? When he's dead, they do. Here they go. They would then fall back into sin, back into idolatry, back into bondage, and then the cycle starts all over again. You understand? That's the book of Judges. So we're rolling. Have I lost you so far? Does this sound familiar in your life? Listen to me. Y'all, come on, help me now. Does this sound familiar in your life? Sure it does. Sure it does. Let's look at a couple of passages. Romans 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind... How many in this room have a problem with your mind every once in a while? Can I see your head? Your hand? I don't want to look at your head, but your hand. Here we go. All right. You have any problem with your thought life? Anybody in the room have a problem with their thought life? Your mind. Hello? Listen, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot what? But you're not in the flesh, but in the what? If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So the battle that we see the children of Israel having is the battle that we have between our flesh. Do y'all still have battles or not? Wow, if you're looking to come to the perfect church, you come to the wrong one. I struggle. How many remember a few weeks ago me telling you I have dirty thoughts? How many was here for that message? How many about fell over and hit the floor? I know, you're so spiritual. Do you see what I'm saying? If you have a struggle, it's most likely I have that same struggle or I've had that struggle in my life as well. I might not be at the same place you are right now, but I bet you I've been there. And I bet you things I'm going through, I bet many of you could say, Pastor, I know what you're going through because I've what? I've been there. I still battle. Does the Bible tell us to put on the full armor of God? It does, because we've got an adversary, the devil, who goes about it as a roaring what? Lion seeking to do what? To devour us. Absolutely. So this was a pattern they had. It's a pattern we have. Okay? Galatians says, this I say then, walk in the what? Spirit! And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When we fulfill the lust of the flesh, we're not walking in the what? It is a battle. It's a walk. It's a fight. It's a struggle. And we're told to fight the good fight. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are what? They're contrary one to another, so you cannot do the things that you would. Did the Apostle Paul say that? He said, things I should do, I don't. And things I don't do, I should. And he wrote 13 books in the New Testament. But somehow you're not going to have a problem. I don't think so. Amen? So this series we're going to be doing is not talking about Samson, not trying to put him up or put him down. We're trying to help us learn. Okay? Let's see if we can do that. A strong beginning. So Samson then is the what in the book of Judges? He's the seventh and he's the last cycle of... So how many judges are there in the book of Judges? Seven. And who's the last one? Samson. Even though there's more material after Samson, but he's that last judge or deliverer. So let's go back now. Here we go. We're rolling. And the children of Israel did evil what? Again, they had done it six other times. Say six. Six other times. In the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them in the hand of Philistine for how many years? 40 years. So now let's roll it and let's see what we can learn today. The Philistines, they were a warlike people who migrated from the land of Egypt. Keep going. They settled along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. When you look at a map of Israel, I've been there many, many, many times. One of my favorite places to go, because I live in Florida, is I love to go to the Mediterranean Sea. But I tell you what, it doesn't hold a candle to what we got here. I mean, it's nice and everything, but come on. You walk. Here's what the bus driver will tell you when you go to the Mediterranean Sea and you get off the bus, and they got nice, fancy buses that take you around on. And the bus driver will tell you, you wipe your feet. Wipe your feet before you get in this bus. I mean, really good. You got to wipe them and take stuff and like petroleum stuff and just clean your shoes because of all the oil and just the black. It's in the sand. You know what I'm saying? It's in the sand. You walk along and you're like, aren't you glad you don't have that kind of beach here in Florida? Amen. Come on. That's where they were. They were seemingly, the Philistines were seemingly impossible to defeat. And they remained Israel's enemy for how long? Do you remember a little guy named David fighting who? Who was a... You see what I'm saying? All right. So they're in the land. They're in that promised land. And God is with them as long as they're with Him. But when they turn their back and start worshiping other gods, God says, well, good, have at it. And you have no strength without me. And so we see that happening. Now they're for 40 years under the hand of the Philistines. Now there's two ways the Philistines continue to overcome Israel when you read your Bible. Two ways that point out, that just pop out at us. Number one, through trade. Through trade. They made certain products and tools and things like that, and Israel would have trade with them. That sounds okay, but that was a way that they controlled them. Through what? It sounds like America. The longer we go, it seems like we're getting more and more controlled by Mideast oil. Are y'all hearing me or not? You see what I'm saying? It's crazy. A new study's been out, I guess, that we're making more oil, but we're selling it. You see what I'm saying? Selling it more and more and more, making more and more money while you and I pay more and more at the pump. You see what I'm saying? It's amazing how you can be controlled through what? Now, trade's important. Things like that, I understand that. But they were really being controlled, and they could overcome them through what? Trade. Number two, the way the Philistines continued to overcome them was through intermarriage. I guess they had some hot chicks or something. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But they controlled them. Israel just couldn't contain themselves or something. And God told them not to do it because they worship idols. And their culture and the way they do their family, everything. Horrible. But they still did it. And the Philistines, even though they were strong, very, very strong armies, they were able to overcome them through trade and through intermarriage more than through might. Interesting. They dominated, here's me talking, through economic and physical what? Seduction. Let's go ahead and get plain English. Get ready to cover your ears. Here we go. Money and sex. Money and sex still does that today. Listen, it's the truth. Money and sex did it. Hey, if you got money, you can get you some sex. I'm sorry. If you got you some sex, you can probably get you some money. Is that the world we live in, yes or no? That's the world we live in. That's the world that was there. Money and sex still dominate us today and rule over our heart today. Is that the truth or not? Of course it is. So we're learning already. Come on. Samson, a strong beginning. We ain't even found him yet. But we're fixing to find Samson. Here we go. No child ever born had a better start and more potential to be a spiritual leader than Samson. I really want you to read this with me. This is really important. No child ever born had a better start and more potential to be a spiritual leader than who? Let's look at it. Let's see where Samson came from. Verse 2. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, the tribe of Dan, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was what? Barren. Sterile. She couldn't have a kid. Didn't have any. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, we don't know her name, and said unto her, behold now, thou art what? And you don't bear any kids. But thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now, by the way, guys, this is very rare in the Bible. These appearances of an angel to somebody telling them you're going to have a child. We see it happen in a dream to Joseph. We see it happen with Abraham and Sarah, remember? You know? So different times, but a little something different here. It didn't say the angel's name, did it? Didn't say Gabriel, didn't say Michael, but the angel of the Lord. Okay? Keep looking. Samson. Who was this man? He was a child born of prayer. I'm certain his mama prayed. I'm certain she prayed for years. Oh God, give me a child. There was, especially in those days, there was a stigma that you must not be right with God if you couldn't have a child. And she lived under that in that culture. That's insane. That kind of thinking is crazy. Say that's crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy. You see what I'm saying? But that was, I'm sure she cried out in prayer. We'll see later in this passage, the daddy of the boy prayed as well. So here's a man that has all kinds of potential. He's a child born of prayer. He came, we'll see it later, as a direct result of a visit from who? The angel of the Lord. I mean, look, if you don't have a head start, buddy, nobody does. Amen? Come on. Who was the angel of the Lord? I believe it was Jesus Christ personally. I believe it was Jesus Christ. God came in a form, Jesus, and appeared to this woman. Okay? Wasn't just any angel. We'll see a little bit later why I believe that. Number three, Samson had an incredible start. He would be raised by who? Parents who were what? Sensitive and obedient to God. When you read the story of Samson, early on, and as you see them talking to him throughout the story, when they have opportunity, and the Scripture shows it, they are sensitive to the will of God. They're sensitive to God's leading. So he had every opportunity to be the best he could possibly be. A strong beginning. His family was blessed and uniquely visited on more than one occasion by the Lord Himself. That's a pretty good start, isn't it? Come on, let's check it out. What does this mean? What can I learn from this as a parent? If Samson's life teaches us anything, it's that children, even with the strongest spiritual beginning, can plunge headlong into carnality and immorality. Say that last part with me. If they so choose. How many parents' hearts have been broken because of the actions of their child? Sure. It's hard, isn't it? And you blame yourself. And what more could I have done? Well, I'm going to tell you what. I know y'all weren't visited by the angel of the Lord when you had your babies, all right? Okay? And I hate to tell you this, but you probably, you know, weren't quite as spiritual as these parents. If their boy could have problems, your boy can have problems. Or your girl can have problems. And you shouldn't heap that guilt on yourself. You listening? Amen. Now, we ought to do the best we can as parents, but come on, at the end of the day, it's their what? We got lots and lots of young people in the crowd today, guys. Listen, it's your choice. It's your choice. It's your choice. You know it is. It's your choice to make the decisions that you make. Choose to do the right thing. God will bless that. God will honor that. Why go through this cycle of your whole life, your whole life, your whole life, your whole life? People 40, 50 years old still all screwed up. Why? It's your choice. Amen. You listening? Come on. Samson, let's learn a little bit more about him. He would be a what? A Nazarite from conception. Keep looking. Even mama had to what? If you know the story of Samson, you know he was a Nazarite. He had three things that he could not do. Particularly three things as a Nazarite. And we'll see them. Even his mama, when she became with child, the Bible says, now therefore, angel of the Lord speaking, beware, I pray thee, and drink not what? Wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. People, I'm going to tell you, I don't know where your mind's at, but it's all right. Because you're crazy. I'll just tell you right now. You've heard me tell you, you're crazy. Here we go. Life begins at conception. Are you hearing me, church? Are you got a mind? Hello. Life begins at conception. That's when life begins. Okay? This old idea that life does, we come into the current century in the age of technology now with ultrasounds and pictures of a little baby even at a very early age sucking his tongue. Life begins when? At conception. Okay? If it doesn't, why are people trying to kill it so quick? You see what I'm saying? And what does this teach us? This teaches us this is a special kid. He's going to have to live a special way. And mama, before he ever gets here, because he's going to have this vow he takes, you got to beware that you do the same exact thing. Isn't that crazy? So we need to get our heads straight on that, guys. Okay? It's a life. It's not a blob of tissue. A Nazarite, what was that? A Nazarite. Well, what it wasn't was this. You really need to listen. A Nazarite was not somebody from Nazareth. Well, he's a Nazarite because he lives in Nazareth. Sounds right, doesn't it? Who grew up and lived in Nazareth? What was his name? Jesus. He was born in Bethlehem, but he grew up where? In Nazareth. He was a Nazarene. Say that with me. He was a Nazarene because he was from Nazareth. It does not mean he was a Nazarite. You understand? You understand that? Okay. He was from Nazareth because that made him a Nazarene, but that does not make him a Nazarite. Samson was a Nazarite. It's a form of sanctification. What is a Nazarite? It's a setting apart for a particular spiritual righteous purpose. God had a spiritual righteous purpose for this man's entire life. And therefore called him, set him apart to be a Nazarite. Right, let's learn a little bit. What is this Nazarite thing? For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and know what? Razor shall come upon his head. I could only wish that would have been said of me. I didn't need a razor. I had lots of church people do this to me. No, I'm sorry. Here we go. Listen. And no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a what? Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to what? Deliver, because a judge is really what? A deliverer. He will what? Begin to deliver. It didn't say he would deliver. It said he'll what? Begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, Manoah. Because he wasn't there when the angel of the Lord appeared. And said, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. He didn't tell me his name. Interesting. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no what? Nor strong drink. Neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a what? To God from the womb to the days of his death. Are we learning something so far? There we go. I hope I didn't bore you to death. This is fun. I love this stuff. And we got pictures and everything. Look. A Nazarite observed three particular rules. Let's learn them today. Three things a Nazarite observed. And there was more. You can find this. A Nazarite vow was taken in the Old Testament. We'll learn a little bit. Here we go. Number one. Pop it up. Cannot touch the dead body of any kind. No dead body touching. Okay, got it. Any kind, that means even an animal. You understand? You mean I can't go hunting? Okay, he couldn't do that. Couldn't touch a dead body. Number two, cannot drink wine, strong drink, or even have contact with fruit of the vine. He cannot even eat raisin bran. You understand? You might say it's kooky, it's nutty. Well, sure. But this is a certain vow that some people would take, a form of fasting or sanctification. But for him, it was more than a vow. It was a what? It was a way of what? It's a way of life. Number three, cannot cut their hair. Amen. I mean, this guy has some long hair. You know what I'm saying? Could never cut his hair. Wouldn't that be nice? Anyway, a Nazarite, this was usually not for life, but for a specific period of time and for a specific purpose that this vow, this kind of thing, would be taken. A setting apart, a separation to God. You understand? That would be normally the case, but not so with Samson. No. For Samson, it was for life. To help you remember it, we popped it up like this. From the womb to the tomb. Say that with me. From the womb to the... One more time. From the womb to the tomb. That's going to be his life. He's a Nazarite. Is he from Nazareth? No. Was Jesus? Was Samson a Nazarene? No, he was a Nazarite. Was Jesus a Nazarite? No, he was a Nazar... Are you confused? Here we go. Let's keep going. Now we're going to move the story quicker now. Daddy prays. Daddy prays. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, "O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, because I won't dare when it happened. Teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." So Daddy prays for another visit. "Please, God, show yourself to me again. I need to see. Please." God answers Daddy's prayer. God answers Daddy's prayer. "And God hearkened unto the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field." But wait a minute. But Manoah, her husband, still ain't with her. This has got to be frustrating. "And the woman made haste. And she ran and she showed her husband and said, 'Come on, Jack. Behold, the man has appeared unto me that came to me the other day.' And Manoah rose and went after his wife. And he came to the man and said unto him, 'Are you the man that spoken to this woman?' And he said," say it with me, "I am." Well, I believe this is Jesus, flat out, period. And I believe in the Old Testament you see different appearances like this. "And Manoah said, 'Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? Tell us what we're to do, and what are we supposed to do?' And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, 'Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I've commanded her, let her observe.'" So what does Daddy do? Daddy offers a sacrifice to the Lord. Keep looking. "And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, 'I pray thee, let us detain thee until we have made ready a kid or a sacrifice for you.' And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, 'Though thou detain me, I'll not eat of your bread. And if thou would offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord.' For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord." Keep looking. "And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do you honor?' And the angel of the Lord said unto him, 'Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is what? It's secret.' So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel of the Lord did, and the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it. And they did what? They fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord." Amen? So this is what happened. I'm just reading the Bible with you. Mama helps Daddy calm down. So Daddy prays, and God answers Daddy's prayer. And thank God for mamas. Because us men, we just sometimes we get out of control. Okay? So mama helps Daddy. Calm down. What do I mean? Look at the scripture. "And Manoah said unto his wife, 'We shall surely die, because we've seen God.'" "But his wife said unto him," now listen, calm down. Calm down. Just calm on down here. "If the Lord was going to kill us, then he wouldn't have received a burnt offering and a meat offering in our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, like, you know, I'm supposed to be alive and have a kid and a baby and all this stuff. You know what I'm saying?" "He wouldn't have done all that, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these." Calm down, honey. We ain't dying. Amen? We're almost done. So Samson is what? Well, we didn't learn a lot about Samson today, did we? We got to get him here first. "And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson," which means different things. Sunlight, the light of the sun, the one who shines. Isn't that how we feel about our kids, guys? I tell you, that's the way we feel about them. That's the way she felt about him. "And the child grew, and the Lord," what? "And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Estol. So Samson's born. That's about all I got to say about Samson today. You don't want to miss next week. This guy is, I'm telling you, nobody like him quite like him in the Bible. Crazy stuff. It's your choice. Message is almost over. It's your choice. Isn't that what Joshua told the Israelites? Yes. Did they choose to listen? No and yes. 6 times in the book of Judges, they went through the cycles, which included 6 different steps. Samson was the 7th and final judge. It's your choice. What did we learn today in the message? What did we learn at Fellowship Church today so far that we can take home with us? Number one, beware of the seduction of money and sex. You listening? Beware of the seduction of what? And sex. It didn't just do the Israelites in. It's done all of us in at different times, probably many times in our life. You understand? Beware of the seduction of money and sex. Number two, avoid the vicious cycle of judgment. Avoid turning your back on God, getting away from God, and getting on that merry-go-round. Avoid that at any cost. That cycle of judgment. Well, God doesn't mean that. He does. He won't do that. He will. I can get by with it. You ain't. You understand? Number three, set yourself apart for God. Set yourself apart for God. What do you mean, Pastor? You telling me that I shouldn't touch anything dead? I got to give up hunting? Tell me I can't drink no wine? Are you telling me I got to let my hair grow? What about you? You don't have to let your hair grow. You know what? I'm going to look at those three things real fast. Let's take them one by one. Number one, don't have anything to do with the old, a dead body. Listen to me. We are, the Bible says that we're a new creature in Christ. The old man has been crucified. Is that what the Bible teaches? Absolutely. Okay? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You need to not resurrect that old man in your life. You need to stay away from the old man. You need to stay away from the old dead way you used to live. You understand? That's a good thing to do. That's a good vow to make to God. Number two, the vow said drink wine or strong drink. I'm going to tell you, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, don't drink wine in what? Excess, but be filled with the what? Spirit. I'm going to say it to you. I'm going to be ugly to you. You are stupid and foolish when you allow yourself to be intoxicated to where you're not in control of who you are. You understand? Yes or no? Come on. Praise the Lord. Come on. Listen. Yeah, but Friday nights, I like just go have some fun and party. You are a nut. It's a wonder something horrible's not going to happen. You're going to kill somebody behind the wheel of your car. Oh, I got a friend who drives me home. You're still crazy. You hear me today? You can make that choice. Why have I got to do that? I personally don't drink. Personally. I had a drunk mama who did enough that for the Clark family. And we saw it, okay? But I try to go with the Bible. What's the Bible say? What's the Bible say? Don't drink wine or strong drink in what? Excess. Is that what the Bible says? Exactly. I'm not going to tell you when Jesus turned the water into wine, He just turned it into grape juice. I'm not going to do that. Okay? You have a brain. Use your brain. Make good choices. How many in this room have been hurt? And it could fall under whatever umbrella you want it to. Because either you did it or somebody else in your life drank and it hurt you. Can I see your hand? How crazy do we have to be, church? Number three, how about the long hair thing? Oh, you're waiting on it, aren't you? Anybody that made a Nazarite vow, you could see they were making it. Because their hair was getting what? Longer. And you know what? Here's what I thought about this. You ought to set yourself apart from God. And I ain't talking about the long hair thing. I'm talking about people ought to be able to see that Jesus Christ is in your life. They ought to be able to see from your countenance,
from decisions that you're making. Not that I don't do this and I don't do that and I'm all this and I'm... No. From your life, they ought to see there's a change in that man, in that woman, that young person. You hear me? So learn that from Samson. You know, set yourself apart for God. It's good stuff. I like it. The last one, we got to learn something from this crazy daddy. No, God ain't out to kill you. He's out to what? Bless you. Let's learn that from that crazy daddy. God's not out to kill you. God wants to bless your life. That's what He wants. So that's what I learned from my little first time preaching so far on Samson. Samson, a strong what? It's hard to believe this man's life can go to pot after reading what we read today, don't you? But it's going to. Come on, let's stand together. Come on. Thank you for the Word this morning. Praise God. Yeah, let's thank the Lord for the Word this morning. Come on. If you can do that, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Good Word. Amen.